Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, September the 19th.
I ask the United States Congress to support the troop levels and the strategies I have embraced.
That was President Bush yesterday asking Congress to back his new plan to withdraw some troops from Iraq by next summer. About 30,000 troops, bringing U.S. troop levels down to pre-surge levels. But now it looks like the Democrats are not going to back that plan. They say they are not going to compromise on deadlines for ending the Iraq War. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says he will call for a vote this month on several anti-war proposals, including one that insists President Bush end U.S. combat in Iraq by next summer. We will talk about this change in tactics from the Democrats, and we will welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Harry Reid says Democrats won't compromise on legislation on the Iraq War just to win more Republican support. We'll talk about that, and we will talk about other developments in the debate over the Iraq War this hour with our guest political scientist, and we will welcome your thoughts and questions. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is Dale Hurspring, professor of political science at Kansas State University, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, and former U.S. diplomat and naval officer. He is the author of several books, including Rumsfeld's Wars, Arrogance of Power, and The Pentagon and the Presidency, Civil-Military Relations from Franklin Delano Roosevelt to George W. Bush. And Professor Hurspring joins us by phone. Good morning.
Good morning.
So is this a surprise to you that now Harry Reid says we're not going to softball this anymore and try to get Republican support. We're going to go for end of combat by next summer.
No, I mean, first of all, he knows he's not going to get it. All I mean, my reading suggests that what they're going to try for is the Webb's proposal to a certain amount of time at home between deployments, the president vetoed that. They just simply don't have the votes. And so what he's doing now, in essence, is he'll be grandstanding, in other words, to keep the issue alive and to show the base of the Democratic Party, as sort of its left wing, that they're still in there fighting. Nothing's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. What about Webb's proposal? What do you think of that, 12 months on, 12 months off?
Well, I understand the proposal. The problem is that from a military standpoint, It causes problems with your flexibility, because let's say something happens, you need troops to go for 14 months someplace else, whatever, or they come back here for 12 months and then something happens in some other part of the world and you need to send them then. Well, this would make it impossible to do that. So no military commander, no Secretary of Defense or President's going to go along with that.
No.
Although it's conceivable, it's probably got the best chance of passing in the Senate. Or in the Senate and the House.
Yeah, I see a report now that it has at least 57 of the 60 votes needed, but it would need 67 votes to override
That's right.
veto.
60 votes in order to cut off keep them from beating it to death, and then 67 to stop a veto.
Yeah. Well, what do you think of President Bush going along, I guess, with his top commander in Iraq's recommendation and the withdrawal of some troops, 5,700 by Christmas, and then maybe more through next July to get us down to about where it was before the surge started?
Well, I mean, first of all, in terms of Petraeus, I know the man. I met him several times. I've talked to him on things. And I know a number of, senior officers who work for him and who know him first up front. And the idea that he did this at Bush's order or so forth is absolute nonsense. I mean, he did this because this is what he thinks. Now, if we had implemented his approach to dealing with things 4 years ago, I think we'd be long out of Iraq. The problem we have now is whether it's going to work given how much time we have left, within a year. Because counterinsurgency is a very slow-moving approach takes a long time to get it. It seems to have worked so far. And if he can take 30,000 out, and if he can still have the same progress that they're having right now, all well and good. The key is going to be whether they can flip some of the Sunni tribal leaders the way they have. The Shia tribal leaders the way they have some of the Sunni tribal leaders.
Yeah. Well, I know, Professor Hirschbringer, you have not been a fan of how this war has been conducted, but I guess, do you go along with the Bush administration on how to try to end this war?
Well, I mean, I go along with what Petraeus' approach. I don't think there's anything else we can do. I mean, getting up and walking out sounds fine. It created an absolute disaster for us, for the Iraqis, for the entire region. So, I mean, I don't think we have any alternative but to try and figure out a way to quietly extricate ourselves while at the same time trying to create not a democratic Iraq but a stable Iraq.
Yeah, well, what would be wrong with a timeline for a definite timeline for withdrawing the combat troops?
The same as it's always been, flexibility, because if you give a timeline, the bad guys just Al-Qaeda just lays low, waits for the timeline, and then comes right back. And so you're not the argument on one side is if we have a timeline that will force the Iraqis to step up and take control of them, their situation. I don't think that's going to work. The problem you have with the whole situation is the Shias are sitting there waiting for us to leave to slaughter the Shia will slaughter the Sunnis. The Kurds will sit up in their own little area up north, and with the Turks probably invading. So, I mean, it's I don't think that we're going to get anywhere with a definite timeline.
Mm. We are talking with Dale Hirschbring, professor of political science at Kansas State University, about the latest news about Iraq, including the Senate resuming the Iraq War debate today, and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid saying he will again push for a firm deadline for troop withdrawal, this time June 2008, along with a stronger effort at cutting off war funding. The Senate will also be discussing Senator Webb's proposal to give troops in Iraq as much time at home as they spend in Iraq. We're talking about both of those proposals and welcoming your thoughts and questions. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. This is the Ideas Network.
When the history books are finally written about this chapter in the war against extremists and radicals, they will recognize certain truths. One, that we recognize that if we were to retreat from the Middle East, the enemy would not be content to remain where they are, but they would follow us here. We recognize that the best way to protect our homeland is to defeat an enemy overseas so we do not have to face them here on the streets of America. And we recognize that liberty is powerful, that liberty will yield the peace that we want for generations to come. They will recognize that this generation of Americans did the hard work now so that future generations could live in security and peace.
It was President Bush yesterday speaking on the White House lawn to some Iraq War veterans. And in his address, he urged lawmakers to back his plans to keep at least 130,000 troops in Iraq through next summer. About 850 members of military support organizations were invited to the White House for the event. The president offered sympathy to those in the crowd who lost a loved one in the war and commended them on their resolve. He asked his guests to deliver a message when they meet with lawmakers on Capitol Hill that, quote, the commander-in-chief wants to succeed. The president announced plans for a limited drawdown in Iraq last week. The Senate is scheduled to resume debate today on anti-war legislation, including a proposal to require that troops have as much time at their home station as they do deployed in Iraq. And Democrat Harry Reid also said yesterday that he will push once again for firm deadline for troop withdrawal, this time June 2008, along with a stronger effort at cutting off war funding. We are talking about these latest developments with our guest, Dale Hirschbring, professor of political science at Kansas State University. And we welcome your questions and thoughts on this at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Professor Hirschspring, what's your what President Bush keeps saying is that we need to succeed in Iraq and defeat the terrorists there, or they will follow us home. Is that true? Do you believe that?
Well, given the fact that I think we should have never gone there in the first place, the fact is I think we've stirred a hornet's nest, and I think unlike the Vietnam War, where they just wanted us to get out of there and have their own country, I think we're dealing with a strain of radical Islam that will follow us here. I have no question in my mind about that.
Mm. Mike and Racine is on the air. Hi.
Hi. Well, I've been listening to this Iraq thing for how many years now? And the
four.
Discussion doesn't change. And it's preposterous to let this thing draw out. We have to cut our losses and get out. Whether we're there or whether we're not there, Al-Qaeda will try to follow us here. Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden are in Afghanistan or Pakistan. They're not in Iraq. Bush made a phenomenal blunder. He's a liar, and I don't know why we're not treating him as a war criminal. Yesterday I heard on public radio that there's a British group that has estimated that 1 million Iraqis have died because of this conflict. There are at least 2 million that are refugees. George Bush is one of the greatest war criminals of the past 50 years.
Let's
call a spade a spade. Get out. I don't think any young American kid's life is worth staying over there.
Yeah.
It's preposterous.
Professor Hirschspring?
Well, I mean, to say somebody's a liar, you have to know their intention. The fact is that I think it's no question in my mind that the Pentagon prepared a lie about the tie between Saddam Hussein and Al-Qaeda, and I think I've been able to show that. As far as the weapons of mass destruction, that one I think is a lot vaguer, and I think most everybody thought that they had him. He had him, whatever. I just think it's nonsense to sit there and call somebody a liar when you don't have one-tenth of the data that's involved. War criminal, I mean, that's just hyperbole. 1 million figure, I don't buy that. There are certain groups that keep constantly coming up with these wild figures. It's not a UN figure. It's not a USG figure. I just simply don't buy it. 2 million refugees is absolutely accurate. Most of them are in Jordan, places like that. And that has certainly been a result not only of the invasion, but of the interesting ethnic warfare.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, Professor Hirschspring, also about the news today about Blackwater and the Iraqi government suspending the license to protect the diplomats and such in Iraq, at least until they investigate this incident where 11 people were shot and killed by Blackwater workers.
This is something that's driven the military nuts because they don't really have control over them. There are U.S. government agencies that are supposed to have control over them. They haven't controlled them because it simply is so hard to do. These people make incredible amounts of money, and they are the military has complained consistently that they're too hot on the trigger, too ready to go and start shooting their way through out of problems. I don't have a better answer to it because the fact is we don't have enough soldiers to provide the security that we need. We have to go to private contractors for that and so many other things. But in the meantime, they're simply not controlled, and I think Condi did the right thing by apologizing over it.
Yeah. How significant would it be if, you know, the Iraqi government stood firm and said you can't operate in Iraq anymore?
I think we'd have trouble. We'd have trouble operating simply because, and it would also undercut some of their own people because a number of these people, these Blackwater people, they're used for guarding key Iraqi officials. And keep in mind, it was the Blackwater people who were killed in Fallujah, which caused us the invasion of Fallujah and that whole situation. So they've been there a long time. They claim the firm claims that people reacted. Correctly, and in their defense, it's a difficult situation. You get a fire from someplace, you fire back, and it turns out the guys who shot at you are gone, and you're hitting civilians.
Yeah. Let's take another call. Tom in Columbus before our news break. Hi, Tom. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
I've kind of got an unconventional mindset about this, I guess. I'm not certain, but I was of the idea that we should get out and kind of cut our losses. But now I think with the situation as it is for the Iraqi people alone, we should almost increase our presence there to kick back the bad guys and hold some territory. Other than that, on the exact opposite, I think that as far as fighting the Islamic radicals, if you want to call them that, they're after taking down our system, I'd rather fight them here than fight them there. I don't care if they blow up a couple buildings here or there. That would be our loss. But home field advantage would be tremendous for us to shake hands with people over there during the day and have them put on their masks at night, come at us. It's pretty tough to tell the good from the bad. And I think that, bring them on. Thank you.
There's an interesting take, Professor Hirschsprung.
Well, first of all, in terms of increasing our presence, that's fine. If you want conscription, you want to bring the draft back. The only way you're going to be able to do that, I mean, that's our problem now, is we don't have enough soldiers, Marines, and sailors and airmen they're taking sailors off of ships and sending them to Iraq because they have such a need for bodies. But as far as fighting them here rather than there, I disagree with that. I say that my son-in-law is on his way to Afghanistan in January. I'm not very happy about that. That's what you sign on for when you sign the dotted line. And the fighting them here, I mean, we are fighting them here, and I think the FBI has done a very credible job. I don't think it has anything to do with the Bush administration or Clinton administration, whatever. I think they sort of operate independently, but they've broken numerous plots, and as the head of Homeland Security said, that what drives him crazy is the homegrown copycats, and we have them already. But I think if we were to give them Iraq, they would have a staging ground as they had in Afghanistan, and it would be even worse because it's a bigger, much richer country.
Yeah, you mentioned at the start of the hour, Professor Hirschsprung, that Harry Reid doesn't have the votes to pass these definitive timelines and trying to end the combat by next July. Most Republicans are willing to give President Bush's troop strategy more time to work.
Well, let's put it this way: there's a lot of ambivalence, and I think that Petraeus's performance. Very smooth, very well done, along with Ryan Crocker. I think that they bought the president at least another 6 months. The reason Harry Reid's going this route, it's no big secret. I mean, just the reason why the Democratic presidential candidates would not condemn the MoveOn.org advertisement or whatever you want to call it in the New York Times. He's playing to the base. This is an attempt to show the base we're not giving up, we're still going to go after it, even though he knows full well that nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's a certain amount, on both parties, a certain amount of things. This in Washington is grandstanding for the base.
And I want to talk more about that MoveOn.org ad and apparently a new ad out, this one a broadcast ad, which I'll play after the news, and we'll talk about it. Talking with Dale Hirschsprung, professor of political science at Kansas State University, about the latest developments regarding the debate over the Iraq War.
Before the surge, George Bush had 130,000 troops stuck in Iraq. Americans had elected a new Congress to bring them home. Instead, George Bush sent in 30,000 more troops. Now he's making a big deal about pulling out, you guessed it, 30,000. So next year, there will still be 130,000 troops stuck in Iraq. George Bush, a betrayal of trust. MoveOn.org political action is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
And that was the latest anti-war ad produced by MoveOn.org, just in time for the debate that starts in Congress today on a number of anti-war proposals, including a bill to require troops to spend as much time here at home as they do in Iraq, 12 months there, 12 months here, a bill that Defense Secretary Gates says is a backdoor way to withdraw troops and is urging President Bush to veto the bill should it pass. And just yesterday afternoon, Harry Reid, Senate Majority Leader, says that he will call for a vote sometime this month on several other anti-war proposals, including a plan to insist that President Bush end U.S. combat in Iraq by next summer. He says that Democratic leaders won't compromise on legislation anymore just to win more Republican support. We are talking with a guest about these latest developments and welcoming your thoughts and questions. What do you want to see Congress do? Should we be following President Bush's latest strategy, or are you with Harry Reid and the Democrats on this one? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Dale Hirschspring is a professor of political science at Kansas State University, a member on the Council on Foreign Relations, and former U.S. diplomat and naval officer. He is the author of many books, including Rumsfeld's Wars, Arrogance of Power, and The Pentagon and the Presidency, Civil-Military Relations from Franklin Delano Roosevelt to George W. Bush. So, Professor Hirschspring, what do you think of MoveOn.org's latest ad?
Well, I mean, the first ad was absolutely scandalous, and the latest one, it's a free country. They're an interest group. They have every right in the world to make that kind of ad. I think it's, so it oversimplifies things to the point that it totally distorts them, but, you know, that's their right to do.
Yeah, why do you say the first ad was scandalous?
Well, it's scandalous because, first of all, it condemns the entire military.
This was the New York Times ad,
right,
that said that General Petraeus is really General Betrayus, that he,
right,
is lying.
I mean, to give you an example, 2 days after that, I was down at Fort Leavenworth lecturing to a military audience. And I was surprised. There was nobody there who was defending the Bush administration when it was off the record, but they were all personally deeply insulted. And I didn't expect that. But I mean, they said, you know, like, we wear the uniform. They're insulting us by making that kind of comment. You don't do that kind of thing. You don't make up stuff when you're a person in uniform. And I think it went way too far. And I think that it hurt MoveOn.org, and I think it's hurt the Democratic candidates because they're afraid to denounce it.
Yeah, well...
Except for Biden. Biden has denounced it.
Yeah, well, why would that hurt the Democratic candidates?
Well, because I think that the general feeling in the United States is that, you don't go bash generals when you don't have any evidence to say that they're, or the military. That doesn't win you too many votes. If they had simply done, which, for example, our local congresswoman, who's a liberal Democrat, had done, she says, I'm going to vote against the Iraq thing, but I think Petraeus is a decent human being, and I also think that this ad was outrageous. Now, that's a liberal Democrat, and of course, it's a conservative area from Kansas, but she got the message real fast that this was over the line.
Yeah. Some are saying that, I guess the MoveOn supporters are saying that General Petraeus is saying that this surge is working, and they will point out that, well, it's not really the U.S. military surge. It's, for instance, Sunni leaders in the Anbar province turning against al-Qaeda. That has,
right,
nothing to do with the surge.
Well, I think it does and it doesn't. The surge, the more troops you have, the easier it is to enforce this kind of an armistice. It's what's happened in Anbar. You're absolutely right. It appears that there may be a similar thing starting to happen in Shia. And you talk to almost any military, senior military official on what's been happening in Iraq. They now have enough troops, for example, to deal significantly with Baghdad. Now, the reason why most of the Marines are being pulled out first is because they're coming from Anbar, which they no longer are that many needed. But what they were needed for in Baghdad was in order to try and do counterinsurgency is labor-intensive.
Yeah. Lots more callers. Louise in Hillsborough is first. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my question. Professor, I'm just curious how long you think we need to stay in Iraq, holding the Iraqis at gunpoint before they'll change their religious conviction and be able to develop a democracy?
Well, I mean, you're obviously asking sort of a loaded question by holding a gunpoint. I don't think we're holding a gunpoint. How long we need to stay, I don't have an answer to that one. I don't think anybody has an answer to that one. And I don't think it's a matter of trying to get them to change their religion. They're not going to change their religion. The question is, how long does it take to create a stable government? And if what happens in Anbar spreads to other parts of the country, then I think we'll be in a position to get out. I'm very honest with you. I'm much more worried about what's going on with Iran than I am with what's happening in Iraq.
Yeah, because?
Well, because I think that the answer is very simple. First of all, and let me just sort of walk through this about a four-step thing. If you spend much time around Israelis, there's one thing they're paranoid about, and that's the Holocaust. And you talk, and that doesn't take very long. And when somebody talks about destroying them, pushing them into the sea, they react very strongly. We have been sitting on the Israelis now for quite a while. Let us take care of it. Let us let diplomacy try and handle it. And they sort of backed off and said yes. However, I think that now that it's clear that diplomacy, I suspect the next 2 weeks will be obvious to everybody, is not going to work, hasn't worked, will not work, then you come back as to what to do next. Sarkozy has talked about military option. The Israelis just went after the Syrian, this undetermined Syrian installation. We don't know what it was. A lot of people think it was nuclear, and I think we're being pushed much closer to that. That's why that there's been a disagreement between Admiral Fallon and General Petraeus, because Admiral Fallon wants he sees the primary danger being Iran, not Iraq, and he wants his forces available for use against Iran should that come. I think we're on a slippery slope.
Yeah, you're afraid that there will be some sort of military strike.
I think we're being pushed in that direction. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that the Iranians are not helping matters at all, and I think that if the Israelis are going to do something, if they decide to do something, we'll be blamed for it anyway, because the Arab world will assume that they only did it because we allowed them to do it. So then the question becomes, well, if the Israelis are going to do it anyway, and we'll get blamed for it, why don't we do it ourselves and do a decent job?
Yeah. All right. Cheryl in Green Bay is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. Mm-hmm. Two comments. First, mostly at the MoveOn.org ad. The new MoveOn.org ad is absolute truth. I mean, we elected a new Congress, and we had 130,000 troops in Iraq. The president sent 30,000 more over the objections of the American electorate. And now he's declaring some sort of moral victory by pulling the 30,000 that he sent after the election back in. So I don't have a problem at all with MoveOn.org ad, the new one. You know, I've been a supporter of MoveOn.org, and sometimes what they do, I roll my eyes and I think, okay, you guys, what are you doing? I think the Petraeus ad probably was in fact one of those I rolled my eyes at, and they stepped over the line. On the other hand, the question, I didn't listen to all of the days of hearings, but the question I never heard asked was, okay, the surge is working. I don't think that's much of a question. Like you said, Professor, you had enough troops on the ground and you can get pretty much anything done. What happens when those troops come out? That's the bigger question. And that is the answer of, did the surge work? And I think that what we probably know is that, no. In the long term, the surge, we're going to pull those troops out. We're going to be right back where we were. They'll have the same frictions going on. And I think that's the more long-term concern. And for me, why the surge was just a short-term answer that really does not have a long-term result. So my concern is that when we pull those troops out, get them back home again, what do we do then? Do we turn around and send them back in again? Everyone's saying that victory is when we have a stable working government, but how long are we willing to stand there and let that happen? Mm-hmm. Or not let that happen? So I'll take my comments off the air. Thanks.
I think your points are absolutely valid. I don't really have any problem with them. What Petraeus is trying to do is to get the Iraqis to stand up themselves. And first of all, our primary concern is al-Qaeda. We don't want al-Qaeda to have another Afghanistan the way they did with the Taliban. And the Iraqis seem to be turning against that. That's why he said that it's improving. It's improved to the point where they feel they can pull some troops out of Anbar, for example, and presumably other parts of Baghdad. Will it work? I don't have the answer for that, and I don't think Petraeus has the answer for that. This is just simply by pulling out, you do all kinds of things. You first of all create an Iran that is going to be a whole lot more dangerous than what we have. You can run the risk of a slaughter at home of Iraqi on Iraqi. You also run the risk of a regional war breaking out. I mean, in a certain sense, we're like the little boy with his finger and the Dutch boy with his finger in the dike. And we pull it out, and you're going to have a flood. And what we're trying to do is find a way to stabilize it so we can get out. Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt in my mind, certainly the military people I know, who want to stay there. They want out. Yeah. But the question is, if we go and leave prematurely, we may well end up back there again.
We're going to check weather and then talk more with Dale Hirschspring, professor of political science at Kansas State University. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. About 12 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Wednesday, September the 19th. Coming up after 8 o'clock, I'm going to talk to the author of the new book, Your Money and Your Brain, which will explain to us why smart people make really dumb financial decisions, among other things. And we'll find out how we can make this work to our financial advantage. Your Money and Your Brain, coming up after 8 o'clock. We're talking with Dale Hirschspring for the rest of this hour about the latest debate over the war in Iraq. Congress convenes today. The Senate's going to begin debating today several anti-war proposals, and there are a lot of other issues in the news regarding Iraq. Dale Hirschspring, a professor of political science at Kansas State University, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. Susie in Seneca is next. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. My son just returned from his second tour in Iraq, so I've been following these issues very closely. His maintenance unit was deployed from Fort Riley, Kansas, and shortly after they got there, the U.S. government hired contractors to do the maintenance work that they had been deployed to do. They were required to hire the contractors, and then they were required to stay in Iraq for a year, even though the work that they had been deployed to do was being done by contractors at enormously higher cost to the U.S. taxpayer on a daily basis, but they were not sent back, even though somebody else was doing their job. Now, Blackwater started out as two guys with some military experience and lots of Republican connections. Their first contract was to supply security at the Baghdad airport. There was no domestic travel to supply security to, so what they did was repaint broken-down Iraqi skid loaders and charged the U.S. government for brand-new equipment. And they pretended to supply trained guard dogs to sniff for explosives. They had no dogs. They have been a scam from the get-go. The people that died in Fallujah were a criminal behavior by one of the superiors in Blackwater who sent those men with insufficient backup, unarmored cars, and not enough people and no map as a deliberate method of revenge for one of the people who was better qualified than he was and made him look like an idiot and managed to get those four Americans killed and countless soldiers and Iraqis killed. I think Blackwater should not only be pulled from the country, they should be subject to criminal prosecution. But because they have fine contacts with Republicans, that hasn't happened. And I think a lot of the other contractors, including Dick Cheney's company, Halliburton, and its spinoff, KBR, has made billions of dollars off the American taxpayers, and this administration has blocked any attempt to investigate or get any of the money back. Instead, we have paid cost-plus bills to these people, which means that however much they choose to charge us, they get money on top of that.
Yeah, I need to give Professor Hirschspring an opportunity to respond to those charges. What do you think, Professor Hirschspring?
Well, the one thing that's very clear is that there has not been sufficient oversight supervision of a lot of these companies. And it's not fair to say that they have not been, these people are getting away with murder. They have been forced on numerous occasions to pay back money, both Halliburton and other companies. And it's not just because it's Dick Cheney's corporation. Let me point out that there are two major corporations. One's Halliburton, which have a contract with the Pentagon that precedes Dick Cheney's involvement. And the reason why they have the contract is the military is not able to put up the support services because of the cutback in the military. Is not able to put up those kind of support services, and these corporations, because they're such giants, are able to do it overnight, feeding people, lodging people, and so forth. They're able to handle stuff overnight. Now, I would be interested to know, I live with about 5 miles from Fort Riley, and I would like me to know those maintenance people, the reason why they would bring somebody else in is a normal thing, is they didn't use the maintenance people for other jobs. For example, as I said, sailors have been taken off ships and Air Force people have been pulled in to drive trucks because they don't have enough people to drive a lot of the military trucks. So if those people sat there for 12 months and literally did absolutely nothing, then it's a misuse of resources. If they are then taken off of maintenance and, in fact, are driving the trucks or doing something else. The military normally does that because they don't have enough people doing the combat things, and so they'll take people out of non-combat units and put them into combat situation.
Yeah. Thanks, Susie, for the call. More calls, and plus I wanted to get your take, Professor Hirschspring, on the new polls that are out in recent days suggesting that President Bush's speech did little to sway public opinion. According to a Pew Research Center poll, more than half of those surveyed still favor bringing troops home as soon as possible, a number that hasn't budged in months. Nearly half say the president should pull out more troops than what he proposed last week. 47% believe the U.S. will likely fail in Iraq, compared to 42% who believe success is likely. In a separate poll, a CBS News poll, fewer than a third of those questioned were convinced the troop buildup has made things better in Iraq. We aren't convinced that things are better or that the U.S. will succeed in Iraq.
Well, you're right. I mean, the fact is, it's very hard in we have a nonlinear conflict in which you don't have front lines, so you can't go and measure who's winning and who's losing. We don't want, the military does not want to go back to the body count, which was a disaster in Vietnam. And so the American public looks up and says, well, how do I know we're winning? Well, the problem you've got is we had 3.5 years of inept leadership under Rumsfeld, very high level of incompetency. And so now you finally have somebody in who knows what the hell he's doing, is willing to try and take the matter on and deal with it. And it's very frustrating because the problem is it's easy to throw up your hands and say, let's just get out. The difficulty is, okay, and then what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jeffrey in Wauwatosa, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, my name is Jeff Kroll. I'm a sociology grad student at the University of Arizona. I'm also a public works intern in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I also happen to be a pacifist, and I support the Move On ad. I agree with the last caller that I think I feel betrayed by the military, and in particular by the contractors like Blackwater, and I agree that they should be subject to criminal prosecutions for their war crimes. I just wanted to say that I think that President Bush is a warmongering imperialist, and I think he should be forcibly taken out of office. And so I'll take my comments off the air.
Well, I mean, it's nice to use the Marxist jargon and so forth, but, I mean, a lot of that sort of nonsense. I mean, the military betrays you. How did the military betray you? There's no evidence anywhere at all to indicate the military's done anything except its job. Has it made mistakes? Absolutely, it's made mistakes. Has it not always been successful? Absolutely not been successful. But given the leadership it had in the Pentagon in the past, I think it's done a good job. Now, whether Blackwater is guilty or not guilty, we're going to see. We'll wait and see what the investigation shows, what the embassy's investigation, what Blackwater's investigation, and what the Iraqi government's investigation shows, and see where that comes out. I mean, there's no question in my mind that those organizations have not been properly supervised, and I think that's a whole other discussion, but, I mean, they have not been.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeffrey, for the call. Don in Wisconsin Rapids. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Joe. Thanks for taking my call. My quick question to the professor is, I guess, to anybody that's listening, is how come, I guess, Iraq is a sovereign country, and nobody is focusing on that. No matter how bad they're going to mess up their country, it is theirs to screw up, not ours. And my take is we're there for purely, you know, business reasons. Bush and his business cohorts are there because of the oil. We're not in Sierra Leone. We are not in any of the African countries, but there's much worse things going on, and that's basically what we need to be focusing on. And that's my question. I guess I'll take my answers off the air.
Well, first of all, we're in Iraq. There is a sovereign Iraq government, and the sovereign Iraq government has asked us to stay until they have a military that can handle the job. That's first of all. Second of all, this is this old, worn-out leftist argument that we're in there for oil. If we are, we're doing a very poor job because we have not really helped ourselves at all with oil, either availability to get it, whatever, in terms of the companies that are in there. I don't think Bush is quite that stupid, nor do I think anybody else in the administration is that stupid to sit there and stay in Iraq just in order to help American companies. I wouldn't accuse Clinton of that. I wouldn't accuse Bush of that. Bush 1, Bush 2, I wouldn't accuse any president of doing that sort of thing. I think that's just silly.
Yeah. Well, in our final minute, which isn't very long, what do you think is going to happen? Congress may or may not pass bills calling for troop withdrawal, but they'll just be vetoed
between now and next June, nothing. I mean, in on the domestic side here, as far as what will happen in country, in Iraq, I think that remains to be seen. Will Petraeus be successful in widening and expanding the surge? We'll have to wait and see. And will the Iraqis finally get off the dime and start making some of the political concessions they need to make? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think that is the really big hooker in the whole problem.
Well, Professor Hirschspring, I hope we talk to you before next summer, but for sure we'll check in then. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
Dale Hirschspring, Professor of Political Science at Kansas State University, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, and former U.S. diplomat and naval officer. Thanks to Leo Duran and Karen Prager for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.